House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Last time on House of Annihilation, the crew of the High Havoc, with their new ally, Krait, Cleric of Dendar, the Night Serpent, move towards the Tomb of the Nine Gods, confronting an ancient enemy, Kozeph, Wizard of Thay.
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liana Servana, the Elf Beastmaster.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Jake, and I'm playing as Krait, the Pureblood Yuan-T Death Cleric.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on. The dead necromancer of Thay lies before you. You have defeated the Kozeph.
That's for Ra, motherfucker!
Now, important question for you guys. Do you want to further humiliate him by raising him as a ghoul?
I mean, you need another one, don't you?
I do need another one.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Go for it, bro.
The gas has begun to totally dissipate out from that entryway, and you can see now the 8 cubes lying on the ground in front.
Okay.
We start picking them up.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Orvex? Did you live?
I'm actually still here.
Oh my God.
That fucking hurt.
Dude, tell me about that. I know.
I think you and me are in a similar boat. I'm going to use my potion.
Yeah, you do that. You can use your hit dice as well. We can have a short rest.
That's true.
Probably,
that's
right?
An hour, if you want to use an hour.
You guys want
to
do an hour?
We're not on a clock anymore.
Yeah, really. We're not as worried about time, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's do a short rest. I took a little bit of damage.
All right, so you guys collect up the cubes. You raise Kozeph from the dead as a grim facsimile of his former self.
Did he have anything useful on him?
You find, tucked into his belt, a beautifully made and very ornate fan. One of those unfolding paper fans.
Ooh, a man of class.
Immediately, Douglas, you can tell that this has an aura of magic about it.
Magic, you guys.
Neat.
And as you guys are spending time during that short rest, you determine that this is a wind fan.
Oh, cool.
While holding the fan, you can use an action to cast Gust of Wind.
All fans are wind fans.
That's true.
Actually.
Even though it can cast that spell, it is highly advised in magical circles to only use it once a day, because each time it is used on the same day, it adds a cumulative 20% chance of not working and tearing into a useless non-magical tatters.
Okay. Looking at it, does it seem like it's been used today?
No.
Awesome.
You can tell that it's still full of its magical energy. Additionally, the wand that he was using, you can see is this long, spindly black wand. Attached to the end of it is a gemstone with these fine black metal legs coming off the gemstone in the style of a spider. This is a wand of web. It has 7 charges. While holding it, you can use an action to spend a charge to cast web.
Cool.
So yeah, you guys have collected these magical items off of Kozeph. You've animated him into a shambling corpse, and you've healed yourselves. Orvex has healed a little bit. We now have all 9 cubes. You're in front of what you believe to be a false entrance to the tomb. And you have hidden another tunnel off to the side so that Kozeph did not discover it.
Hooray!
So, show me this hidden entrance of yours.
It's just right over here. It's not very far at all.
Literally 15 feet to the side.
Yeah.
You guys pull all these brush and reeds and branches and stuff that you had stacked up there to look like real bushes, quite convincingly.
We're so smart.
There is a 5-foot wide tunnel dug into the wall. Along each side of the tunnel, like a gallery, are these statues dedicated to the trickster gods. As you walk in with the cubes in hand, you can see that with each statue you pass, Moa the Jaculi, Wongo the Sioux Monster, they ignite these little oil braziers in front of them. Next, you go past Ijin and Obalaka, again, ignite. Papazotl and Kubazon, ignite. Nangnang and Shigambi, ignite. And then as you reach those last two, the wall, the dead end at the end, deteriorates into magical dust. And the 9th and final statue of Unk, the flail snail, with its own. Don't mess with flail snails.
I didn't mess with them. I can laugh at them, though.
With its own brazier in front of it, ignites. And around the neck of the flail snail, there is a golden amulet.
Ooh.
Totally plain, unornate, just a golden disc about an inch and a half across attached to a golden chain. You can definitely tell that this is magical.
Guys, this is super magical.
I'm just trying to follow the
instructions we had.
The enemy is opposed. One stands between them. In darkness it hides. Don the mask or be seen. Speak no truth to the doomed child. The keys turn on the inside only. Haven't seen a mask.
No.
We should probably examine this amulet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it. Great.
I'm not the magic one.
Yeah,
you're not magic. What are you talking about?
It's divine power given to me by Dendar.
Oh, God. I just walk up to the thing.
Yeah, so this amulet is definitely magical. You're welcome to pull it off and wear it if you want.
What does it look like?
It is an inch and a half cross gold disc, totally unadorned, with a golden chain attached to it.
All right, I just put it on. Douglas says, this is pretty.
As you drape it on, it starts to pull off to the side until it starts to float in the air and pull just gently, but tug you in a direction opposite of where you're facing right now.
I let it pull me.
It leads you back out into the clearing, across the other side of the obelisk to another tight bundle of trees and bushes. And
someone else's sweet hiding place, yeah.
Someone else's sweet hiding place. And it pulls you through the bushes to some heavy undergrowth. You uncover inside that another archway in the cliff face. Stone skulls peer down from the lintel, and old bones litter the threshold. As light strikes the entrance, a swarm of bats screech out from within, just fluttering past you, totally harmless, but dramatic effect, like doves in a John Woo film. And you can see ahead of you another very similar puzzle door to the one that you just encountered. Sunlight streaming onto it, vines and bushes all over the place, some ancient trees growing in, and a door, much like the stone door that you just tricked Kosef with, but this time with 9 recesses for cubes rather than 8.
Oh, that seems good.
You get up to the door. This is a slab of work stone blocking an overgrown tunnel some 20 feet from the entrance. Grinning skulls mark the edges of the slab, and in the center of which is 9 cube-shaped cavities arranged in rows of 3x3.
Cool. Did anybody follow me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys bring the cubes with you?
I'm here too.
Who are you?
I'm Orvex.
Wow, you sound way worse than you do.
I'm trying. Trying really hard to not die.
Orvex, can I have a real talk with you? Do you want to come in the dungeon with us?
I'm curious about it, but terrified.
Okay.
I'm worried that you'll need me.
Yeah. I mean, I think we will need you, but we're not going to force you. It's your choice.
No, we need his reading chops.
I'm good at reading.
Yeah. It's real good at it.
And being alive, I mean, apparently.
He's okay at it.
He's better than Cranston. Yeah, like, he's better than our actual PC party member, so.
Yeah, Cranston was never very good at it.
He had a lot of bad luck.
That's what it was, just the bad luck.
Okay, well, if you're really sure, then you're more welcome to come with us, but I didn't want to force you into this decision.
No, you have to
understand.
Come.
I'm up for it.
Okay. We start placing the cubes.
How do you place them?
The right way.
What's your method?
In opposition, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Enemies opposed or whatever.
And then the single one by itself, I assume.
Don't forget to wear your mask.
I don't have a mask.
What? Oh, shit. Are we trading the mask that we found?
Oh, right.
The golden one?
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That would have been really funny if that was it, though.
That was it. That, this entire time, you guys were collecting critical clues from the dungeon. Months and months of travel in the jungle, and you needed everything.
You fucked up.
You fucked up. Sorry, you're putting the enemies into opposition,
mm-hmm.
And you're putting the odd cube where?
Isn't there one by itself?
There's 3 rows of 3.
Right in the center, oh. I thought.
Oh, 3 rows of 3.
Top left and top right oppose, bottom mm-hmm. left and bottom right oppose, left middle and right middle oppose, mm-hmm. and then
top bottom.
The, is it the flail snail that's the...
By itself,
yeah, right in the center.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's the ninth one.
With Unk in the center?
Yeah.
All right. So you guys place the cubes in, and they slide in perfectly, and then the 9 cubes flare with light and disappear. Growling like an angry beast, the slab begins to slide up into the ceiling. Standing open, you now see another 20-foot stretch of hallway with another slab blocking the hallway ahead of you. An iron lever is set into this door's surface with a graven stone skull leering down from above.
Is my necklace doing anything anymore?
No, it has fallen flat to your chest again.
Okay.
I'm going to examine the skull.
You're going to go up to the skull?
Yep.
Okay. What's everybody else doing?
Douglas waits to see what happens.
Just outside?
Inside the corridor, but... I'm letting Lee examine the skull.
Okay. Horik?
Horik is going to feel around on the walls inside the corridor. Sure. And try to see if there's maybe any kind of a secret or a trap or something.
Okay, makes sense. You can go ahead and give me a perception check.
24 perception.
Great, what are you doing?
Watching. Okay. Amusedly.
Amusedly. As you guys are getting in there, you're all taking a look at things. Lee goes up to examine the skull with little Hamlet beside her.
Mm-hmm.
Horik, you notice along the middle of the floor is a seam.
Oh, shit.
And at this point, the skull's mouth opens, and from within, a skeletal hand stretches out, clutching an hourglass.
Horik steps off to the side, out of the way of the seam.
The hourglass flips.
Oh, crap.
And sand starts to pour down into the bottom chamber.
I tried to...
10, 9,
I tried to rewrite it by jump
7,
for the lever
six,
and pulls the lever.
Yeah. 5. You pull the lever?
I pull the lever.
The floor falls open.
Ah!
I knew that.
Lee, you can make a dexterity saving throw.
23.
All right, you're good. You hang on to the lever as everybody else falls into the pit below.
Five.
Oh, you all fell.
You fall down into a 20-foot deep pit filled with spikes.
Oh.
6 damage for falling.
Mm-hmm.
And then Horik, you get hit with 1 spike. Douglas gets hit with 4.
Jesus Christ.
And Crate gets hit with 1. So if you were hit with 1 spike, you took 3 piercing damage and 6 poison damage.
If you were hit with 4?
You take that and these next few rolls. 3 piercing, 3 poison, 8, and 5.
Oh, good.
Additionally, if you took poison damage, you're poisoned for 24 hours.
Cool.
Does a potion of restoration heal poison?
It would, actually. The trap triggers, dropping you guys into the spike pit. Lee is clutching onto the lever, and at the same time, the door that the lever set into begins to rise, opening into the next chamber of the tomb.
Hmm. We did it.
You're in. All right, so you guys managed to peel yourselves off the spikes, climbing back out into the next corridor, and you see ahead of you a moss-covered corridor extending beyond the second door. Tree roots hang from the sagging ceiling, and the air reeks of rot and damp.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of you, there is a bas-relief carving of a bearded devil's face adorning the wall on a T-shaped intersection.
I'm not going to go near it, you guys.
That does seem bad.
The devil's open mouth is a well of utter darkness.
And you said it was a T-intersection, sorry?
It is a T-intersection.
All right, we'll have to wait to merge.
Yeah, so you guys are here. You're in the dungeon. I think you've so far have experienced a couple of traps.
This
yeah.
is true.
Do you learn from your mistakes?
No.
Yes.
Well, we have a wand of find traps.
The Wand of Secrets has 3 charges. It can detect a secret door or trap within 30 feet of you, and it regains 1d3 charges daily.
I feel like we should do perception checks first and then see.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
I perceive.
Is that going to be kind of a system going forward? You guys are looking around before you move forward kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We learn from our mistakes sometimes.
Sometimes.
20 for Lee.
Okay.
18 for Douglas.
Okay. Tell me about where and how you guys are looking, even if you're just doing it from where you're standing. What's your methodology?
I'm just looking at the walls because the walls always seem to be a thing.
Sure.
I'm focused on the floors now.
Okay.
Floor and ceiling.
Yeah, Horik is also worried about the floor, so he's taking his mace and like tapping at tiles and ahead of him, a seeing eye stick.
Sure.
Crate can take ceilings as he can walk on walls, so... He climbs up to the ceiling and walks along from the top.
Yeah, he's just showing off now.
I get a different view from up here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you guys are inspecting this hallway and you see that there's this moss hanging on the wall and these leaves and tree roots and stuff like that. And you can see that obscured in between them, there are these tiny little holes in the walls. And then along the floor, you see that there are these irregularities in the floor tile patterns that reveal that there are definitely some pressure plates kind of randomly placed around the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You think that either you could walk around them, wedge them open, or plug the holes and any of those things might work.
How long is this corridor altogether?
40 feet.
I think we'll just avoid stepping on those stones.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy can walk on walls, apparently.
You guys move up to the devil face. It's this big, 8-foot tall, floor-to-ceiling bas-relief carving. The mouth is gaping, huge, about 4.5 feet wide, and it's completely, utterly black within it. To your right is a hallway that continues out to, you can see a railing in the distance where it starts to open up into a wider space. To your left, there's a grate on the floor. You hear the sound of moving water through it. A crystal window about 8 feet by 8 feet set into the dead end down to the left, and lying on the floor, slumped up against the wall, just about 10 feet away from you near the grate, is this big metal covered body. It looks to be a humanoid body covered in these plates of steel and iron and
like armor
and wood. Yeah. It looks like a suit of armor or something.
Okay.
Lee, poke it.
No.
Poke it.
You said there was like that big mouth that we couldn't see into.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to turn on my flame sword.
Sure.
It casts a light 40 feet in front of me.
And it...
Whoa.
Yes. And
bright light.
And as you hold the sword up in front of you, just as a torch,
yeah.
The wall of darkness that is this devil's mouth is completely impenetrable. You can tell that it's permeable, like you could step through, but it's completely black.
It's magical in nature then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything here is going to be magic.
I mean, there's a dead end to our left, right, with the armor?
With a big crystal window, a grate on the floor, and an armored humanoid.
There's a grate on the floor, so we can actually go across it.
Yeah, it's just an iron grate built into the floor, and you can hear rushing water through it.
Mm.
Probably check out the dead end first, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you check out that body?
Yeah.
I poke it.
It does not move. It kind of slumps like a dead body would, and you can see that it's not actually armor. It's metal and wood all kind of fused together to create like a humanoid body.
Like a golem?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like a golem, but you've not seen anything like this style before. It has like facial expressions and features, but there's all like these metal components that make up its face. It looks like the jaw hinges. It could speak. There's these little orbs as eyeballs. Very odd, very strange. And you see clutched in its arms is a bag.
Douglas opens the bag.
Douglas opens the bag?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Inside, you see a leather-bound journal and 16 gold bars.
Wow. No wonder they needed a robot to carry this bag. Well, I read through the journal. I skim through it,
I guess. You open it up. And the first page says, "Herein are the adventures of Baylor the Overladen."
Oh, this makes a lot of sense. You're very overladen. And did he give him, I wonder, the name after he got all the gold bars?
You can see that Baylor is written in one color of ink and the Overladen is written in a different handwriting. And
added it later.
And
yeah.
Is written in like a red, rusty brown ink.
Like blood?
Maybe.
What's the story with this, some kind of crystal ornament or something on the wall?
Creepers and vines cling to the walls of this corridor. And at the end there's this arched crystal window, 6 feet wide, 10 feet high. Through it, you can see a dark chamber on the other side. The crystal itself is maybe an inch or two thick, or probably not even that, maybe an inch thick. And through the other side, you see a huge vaulted tomb with overgrown moss and creepers all over the place. In the center, there's a stone sarcophagus on a stepped dais in the middle of the floor. On the wall behind the sarcophagus are two large statues of bears gripping a 5-foot diameter bronze disc embossed with a dozen glaring eyes. To the left and right of the sarcophagus, on thrones, are 6 desiccated corpses in niches along the walls. Each corpse wears a black mask made of paper mache and feathers.
We do need masks.
There's a lot going on in that room.
Yeah.
So sarcophagus in the center,
yeah.
Bronze disc behind it held up by 2 bears. The disc has eyes engraved into it. And then 3 corpses on one side, 3 corpses on another, all wearing black masks of paper mache.
It's funny, we can tell they're paper mache from all the way over here.
Some high quality masks.
Do we want to get in there? Because I mean, I could use the water and smash it.
I don't know, they died in there.
Well, they may not have died in there. They could have just been buried in there.
It's the most interesting thing so far.
I would say the impenetrable black mouth that we saw is also pretty interesting, but it's the most seeable thing that we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. I vote yes.
Yes? All right. You guys, I just need one more vote and I'll start doing it.
Sorry, what are you going to do?
I'm going to use the water underneath.
To like bring it up and then use it to strike the glass?
That's correct.
Water bend it up? That's awesome.
I'm for it.
All right.
Okay.
I use shape water.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is like kind of make it into almost like a lance point.
Yeah, sure.
And like shoot it right at the glass.
Okay. Go ahead and make an attack roll against glass.
All right. 19.
Yep, that works. Roll damage.
14.
The lance smashes into it and cracks, starts a spider web throughout the entire crystal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I hope this was a good decision, is what I say as I throw it.
I think we're onto something.
I do it again until it smashes.
You persist, and eventually the crystal just completely blows out into the room and water floods the floor. And you guys are standing in front of a broken window.
It's wet.
You vandals.
Oh, well, if I knew that was going to be a problem, I'd take all the water back, fix the window.
Pork spits.
Okay.
Well, why?
Just he wants to create water also, guys.
He hasn't done anything in a while.
Special. Create steps through the window.
Tell me what you guys do. Do you go in? Do you wander around in there?
I definitely go in, yeah.
Yep. All right. Okay. You step through, and the corpses on the thrones immediately stand.
I knew that was going to happen, yeah.
And start moving out towards you. Roll initiative. 6 for Horik.
Douglas got an 11.
Lee got a 24.
Great.
13.
Lee, you guys have just come in and kind of fanned out as you come through the crystal window. You see these 6 undead creatures rising from their thrones, drawing these rusted and worn out long swords from their sheaths and are now coming straight at you. What do you do?
Lee takes a defensive stance in front of Hamlet. She's going to draw her bow, though, while they're at range.
Sure.
And fire a shot at, let's say, the ones coming in from the left side.
Go ahead and roll it.
25 to hit.
Yes, I'll allow it.
12 damage.
All right. Is this magical?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
No. I'm shooting again.
Go ahead.
Don't you have a +1 bow?
I do have a +1 bow.
So that's magic then, right?
Huh. Fuck you, Sean. It's magic.
You know what? Maybe you turn the magic off.
I'll you have to find a way.
I didn't know it gave it the +1. I just thought it was a good bow. 24 to hit.
Yes.
And another 12 damage.
All right.
Magic damage.
I'll allow it. Sounds good. Anything else from Lee's turn? Any movement? Any bonus actions? Any animal companions?
No. I'm just going to leave it as is.
All right. These whites move forward and start to surround you. I'm going to move in on Horik Jones with that closest white. So this white with his longsword in 2 hands is going to make its first attack against you. You can see this black energy start to whoosh into the sword as it strikes at you. And you feel this cold start to leave your body.
Ooh.
That is a 13 to hit.
Not enough.
Do you want me to turn my flame sword on and warm you up?
You sidestep past the dangerous attack and it goes to hit you again, missing. Second white is going to move up to you as well. 17 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. This one is going to do 5 necrotic damage.
Oh.
Owie.
Make a constitution saving throw.
12.
Your hit point maximum is reduced by 5.
Oh, shit.
Permanently?
Until long rest. Or if you die.
Then they come back.
Yeah.
The far one back there will rush right up to attack Lee, coming right at you. First attack is a 10.
No.
Second attack is a 15.
No.
All right.
So aggro. Mm-hmm.
White number 4 will come and attack the person with the shield.
That's great.
11.
Nope.
And 11 again.
Yeah, walk away.
The white number 5 will come at your ghoul. 7.
Nope.
And 20.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a hit with the longsword. 4 damage.
Very well.
Final white comes forward, attacks the Kozef guy again with a 24.
Oh, shit.
And a 15.
Yes.
Okay, so we take 7 and 5.
Kozef dead again?
Nah.
Not yet.
I mean, he's seen better, but...
Great, it is your turn.
He dies again. Can you bring him back?
Assuming the body isn't destroyed.
Nice. Even if he's missing a leg, Kosef would still be
actually,
cool.
I used all my 3rd level spells, so we'd have to bring the corpse with us.
We got that corpse.
I'm not ruling it out.
corpse backpack, so.
Okay, well, I'll start with, I'm going to cast Bless on you, inferior beings, because you need it.
Thank you. I mean, that's rude, but thanks.
Assume you're not talking to me. So.
All right, you don't get the bonus then. No. I'll do it on my ghoul instead. Horik, Lee, and Douglas, for the next minute, you add a d4 to every attack roll and saving throw.
Oh, shit.
Dope.
And then I will instruct, as my bonus action, Kosef, to just bite at the guy in front of him.
Okay.
15.
That hits.
Nice.
Biting the white.
White in his ass. Thank you.
7 piercing damage.
Okay, Douglas.
Okay, Douglas is going to cast Snilux Snowball Storm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to actually remember to use my magic shaping.
Yeah.
Not to hit my party members. So I want to cast it right on the edge of the sarcophagi closest to us.
What's the radius on it?
It's a 5-foot radius from that, a sphere.
Oh, okay. So it'll hit 3 of them. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Each creature within a 5-foot sphere must make a dexterity saving throw. 15, by the way.
Whites can't be very dexterous. Whites can't jump.
That's pretty good.
One of them made their save.
Okay, so he's going to take half. 12 damage.
Okay, nicely done. A few of these snowballs slam into the whites and they, you know, being from a jungle environment, they're so confused.
Snowball fight!
Next we have Horik. Horik Jones over here, surrounded by 3 ghouls.
Horik is going to attack the one directly in front of him.
The one on your left is also injured, in case you're curious.
Oh, that's okay.
That's
okay.
He's going to clean up. That's
yeah, Horik's going to attack the one directly in front of him with Bob the Battle Axe.
Yep.
You get a bonus d4 on your attacks right now.
Oh, yeah, I did 2, actually.
No, not in damage, just on attack roll.
So that's 22 to hit?
That
no,
hits.
That's a lot more to hit.
It hits.
That's
it hits.
Many to hit.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be a sweeping attack.
Yep.
When you hit with a melee weapon, you can expend 1 superiority die to deal damage to another creature within 5 feet of the original target and within your reach, equal to the number you roll on the superiority die.
Okay.
So I'm also going to attack this guy while I'm at it. First, I'm going to do my damage to the white directly ahead of me, which is 10 damage.
Yep.
And then to the one to my left, 7 damage.
Nice.
Next, he's going to attack with the boar mace. Oh, I guess I attack twice with Bob the Battle Axe. That's a 23 to hit.
Hits.
13 damage.
Okay.
We're going to make that a trip attack.
Ooh.
So it's another 3 damage. And he has to succeed on a strength saving throw. It's a DC 15.
Fails.
And he's knocked prone. Bitch.
And your bonus action.
Bonus action is going to be the boar mace.
Okay.
Chop off his head.
Same guy?
Yeah.
Then you get advantage.
23 to hit.
You hit.
6 damage.
All right. Fighter coming into his own over here. Orvex now. Orvex is going to shoot the white that is just in front of him and ahead of Horik there. Natural 1.
Oh!
Yikes.
Shooting Horik in the leg.
I swear I'm trying. As he reloads another bolt.
We believe in you, Orvex. I shout from my side.
Stick really, to your reading.
I really appreciate that. It is Lee's turn.
Back to Lee.
So you've got a white right in your face.
Yeah.
Currently
yeah.
Wielding your longbow.
I drop the longbow and pull out Flameo! Flame on! So I'll attack the one in front of me.
Do it.
22 to hit.
That hits.
12 damage.
Keep going.
25 to hit.
Hits.
14. And then I think I'll have Hamlet attack as well. He gets advantage when he's like right next to me.
Yep.
Okay, he's going to miss with that one, and he's going to miss with that one. Cool.
Missing all around. Don't worry. It looks like you guys have done a significant amount of damage to about 50% of these undead monsters. Number one is going to attack Horik. A miss and a miss. The other one stands up and attacks Horik with a 15 to hit.
That just hits.
4 necrotic damage. Make a con saving throw.
That's a natural 20 anyway.
Ooh, your hit point maximum is okay. A 16 to hit.
That hits.
7 slashing damage from a longsword. Number 3 attacks Lee. 17 to hit.
Yep.
7 necrotic damage and make a constitution saving throw.
15.
15 is enough. You're okay.
Yes.
And then you take 6 slashing damage from the longsword on the second attack. Great. A miss and a 17.
Nope.
Okay. And then this other white will switch its attention to you. 20 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
The longsword 6 slashing damage. And then your ghoul. Does an 11 hit a ghoul?
No, just miss.
All right. That's my turn. So White's closing in, slashing away at you, trying to drain away your very life essence. It is now Crate's turn.
Have both the two kind of in front of me been damaged already?
Everyone's been damaged.
Everybody, I thought so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then I'm going to toll the dead.
Bong.
Bong, quite literally, is the description in the spell. a dolorous bell, like, echoes in the room. And if they've taken damage, then it does more damage.
Yeah.
They both make wisdom saving throws, DC 14, please.
We'll succeed, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's ghoul time.
Okay.
He'll attack the one in front of me, in front of Crate.
Sure.
He protects his master. 21 to hit.
Yes.
For 8.
His ghoulish claws are not really taking as much out of the White as one would hope.
Yeah.
It is now Douglas's turn.
Okay, the one that's closest to me in minion Kosef, I'm going to cast Frostbite.
Okay.
Target must make a constitution saving throw on 15.
Fails.
The target takes 1d6. 2 on that, and now it has disadvantage on the next weapon attack.
That's Douglas Horik. See how many more you can kill this turn.
Yeah.
You got this. We haven't killed any yet.
See if he can kill any this turn.
See if I can kill any this turn. Yeah, so Hork's basically going to try the repeat of his last turn over again. He's going to attack twice with Bob the Battle Axe. 27 to hit. And a 28 to hit.
Both hit.
10 damage and 7 damage to the one in front of him.
And that one is slashed in half. Falls to the ground, defeated.
Aha!
And then he's going to attack with the Boar Mace for his bonus action against the other one. 19 hits.
Yep.
For 9 damage. He's going to make that one a trip attack.
So I make a strength saving throw?
That's right. Another 4 damage.
Fail.
Okay, so he's knocked prone.
And you, in knocking it to the ground, smash through its skull and it dies. And it is now Orvex's turn. He's going to step out into the middle of that bush about 20 feet ahead of him. And he will shoot at the White that is threatening Lee.
Okay.
That's much better than last time.
I mean, it literally has to be a 2 to be much better than last time.
It hits. That's 11 and 3 is 14 damage.
Wow.
He kills it. He fells the final wraith with a bolt, hand crossbow bolt to the back, slumping onto Lee. And 3 whites remain. It is now Lee's turn.
Kill that white.
All right, I'll get up. I'll go up 10 feet.
Yeah.
And Hamlet will follow 5 feet behind me.
Sorry, you move up to the white and you?
Attack. Well, that's 1.
That hits. No, I'm kidding.
I'll add the d4. Hold on.
That would be awesome.
It's not an autofail, so.
Okay. So 5. 13.
Nope.
So close.
All right, I'll attack again.
Pretty close. It just glances off the White's armor.
Well, this one's definitely going to hit. Yeah, 28.
Hits.
That is 18 damage.
Holy shit.
Holy shit indeed. Do you want fire separate or does it matter in this situation?
This situation doesn't. I'll let you know if I want it specific.
Okay. And then Hamlet's going to take a little bitey bite. Oh, he has advantage too. 21.
You're good.
And he does 10 damage himself.
You mean 5 damage.
Oh,
unless his,
he's magic.
Is he magic?
Yeah.
Okay. If you
he's magic to me.
Yeah. Oh,
that makes it the White's turn. That one's going to turn and attack Lee. He misses with the life drain and gets a 17 with his longsword.
Yep.
Ooh.
That's a max hit, 12 damage.
Oof. Owie.
Next one's going to attack Crate. Misses with both attacks. And the last one, disadvantage on his attack, is going to attack the ghoul Kosef. Miss and miss.
Yeah. Wow. Debuffs.
The whites attempt to fight back, but they can see that it's a losing battle. However, they're mindless, so it doesn't matter. Crate, go.
Okay, that echoing bell still echoes throughout the hall. Let's do it again. DC 14 wisdom from both of these guys, please.
Yep, you got it. The one on my left fails.
And the other one passes?
Yes.
Okay. 13 necrotic damage, ignoring necrotic resistance.
Ignoring necrotic resistance?
Yes.
How does that work?
That's my ability at last level, inescapable destruction or something it's called.
Okay, so you can, is it specific necrotic?
Yes. Yeah, any necrotic damage I do ignores necrotic resistance.
So 13.
Is that one dead?
Nope, he's alive still.
Re-dead? Okay. All right, well then the ghoul will try to finish him off. 16 to hit?
Hits.
Oh!
You get to roll 2d6 on the ghoul?
2d6 plus 2. 13 Wowzers. Damage.
That does it. The ghoul jumps onto the white, dragging it to the ground and slashing and biting at the body. Kozef, you know, we've never seen him so gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was already pretty gross.
Yeah, he's better in death than he was in life.
Mm-hmm. More helpful anyways. Next is Douglas.
I'm going to Burning Hands that close guy that I just debuffed a second ago.
You got it. I'd love to see that.
So dexterity saving throw, 15.
Fails it.
Ah, ha, ha, is what I say.
Good one, Douglas.
17. Almost max.
17 fire damage.
Yeah. It's in a cone, technically, so I'm going to wrap it around, I guess, so I can hit that guy.
Because you can sculpt the spell?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll make a save for that other guy?
Yeah.
Also fails.
Nice.
Both of those whites are in bad shape. Horik, two whites remaining.
Horik is going to, keeping in mind that all of these people nearby him,
you can move through ally
won't,
spaces.
Won't get attacks of opportunity on him.
Oh, look at that maneuver.
moves right through, and he's going to do some damage.
Do it.
He's going to do his usual 1-1-2. 16 to hit. 6 damage. And again, 15 to hit.
Yep.
That is 12 damage.
Dead.
Nice.
This white decapitated falls to the ground. Now you have movement left, right?
Yeah, but he's actually going to use his bonus action for second wind.
Okay, sure.
So he's going to regain some HP.
Sounds good. Orvex's turn. Let's see if he can't finish off this last white. He's going to run across the other side of the room and fire away.
To do like a diving like longbow shot?
Yeah, dives over the sarcophagus, hand crossbow out.
Man, Orvex, you got so cool.
He hits. Does 11 damage.
Nice.
And then lands on the ground, spraining his shoulder.
Sounds all right.
My ankle!
Lee, it's your turn. Can you finish this off for me?
Oh, sure.
Just narrate it, because you'll kill it.
Lee picks up the white, runs it over to the coffin, and smashes his back on it.
Body slams.
Go home.
This is where you belong. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, with one badly damaged white left, you guys have no trouble cleaning it up, and you now are standing within this tomb with a sarcophagus in the center and a large disc with these embossed eyes, which you now see are flitting around the room and following you.
Oh.
Watching you as you move around the room.
Yucky.
I would like to do a perception check on the sarcophagus.
Do it.
Just a 10.
The sarcophagus is engraved with images of Zorbos, which are the small, feral, bear-like creatures.
Right.
You remember this guy from the myth that Orvex keeps repeating to you as if that's the only thing he knows how to say.
He said some other things.
Orvex, Orvex.
Oh, Balaka, he's the Zorbo.
The key turns from the inside only.
He just turns into a parrot.
Crate is swatting at the little eyeballs that are floating around him.
Well, no, those eyeballs are on the disc.
Oh, sorry. I thought I heard they came off and started floating around. Scratch that. He's just having hallucinations.
Not everything can just go on the wall.
Dendar, is that you?
Should we open it?
Oh, that seems terrible.
Yeah, don't.
I wanted to take a little closer look at the bears and the plate that they're holding, or disc rather.
Absolutely. You notice on this bronze disc, these eyes are flicking back and forth, looking at each of you in turn. There's probably like a dozen eyes on here that are eyes wide, almost bloodshot, staring back and forth at you. You get the sense that they're kind of like accusatorily looking at you. Like they're like, why are you here? Get out, you creature.
I say, why are you here?
They don't respond.
They're holding
and
out a
like,
plate.
Gotcha.
They just stare at you.
And I stare right back.
Does it look like an offering plate or something that they're holding out?
The disc? No, it's a vertical, like a gong almost.
Oh,
but
I
not.
See.
It's not a gong. It's just that kind of presentation.
Can we gong it, though?
You could, I mean.
I can pretty much gong anything.
Yeah. If it's a vertical disc, you can gong it. As the old saying goes.
The bears, however, look more like sun bears.
What's the significance of that?
They're just not Zorbos.
Oh, Sunbear is just a kind of bear. I was thinking like some fantasy thing.
No. Yeah, me too. I was like, whoa, do they radiate like light?
No, they don't.
They're just a bear.
They're just like small brown bear type bears.
Okay. They're not doing anything?
They're just statues.
Okay. I also want to do a perception check on the masks that those whites were wearing. I want to figure out if they're part of like the lore thing that we were following.
Kind of past that now, but you can
check. You don't know that.
The clue thing?
Yeah, the clue thing.
So what does the clue thing say?
Don the mask or be seen.
We're being seen right now for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. I put on a mask.
So you take the mask off the white and put it over top of your head. And
Christina just jumped out of her socks.
I'm just kidding, Douglas. Just kidding.
Haven't we been through enough?
You slip the mask on, and the only noticeable difference that you see, Lee, is that the eyes don't look at you anymore.
Hmm. See, I told you.
All right. You everyone grab a mask.
Yeah. I grab a mask. I put it on. I'm like, this stinks.
It does smell kind of bad, but you notice that you guys are no longer being perceived by the disc.
Cool.
Hork wants to gong that disc.
Gong it.
You do
bro.
So.
He pulls out the boar mace.
Yep.
And gongs it.
I'm going to assume you hit it pretty hard because you're a big guy.
Oh, yeah, real hard.
And you like dent part of it.
Take that, stupid eyes.
Hork just kind of brushes the bit that he dented.
That ain't going to buff out.
No. Oh boy.
Crate, are you also wearing a mask?
I take a look at it as I pick it up. Can I roll like a divinity check to see if I know anything
religion
about
check?
This? Religion check, sure. Sorry? Yes.
Yep.
21.
You know that from the Omuin tradition that these are a death mask that would be worn by people when they're buried.
Right.
Or laid to rest.
Or not laid to rest in this
or
case.
Or instilled as undead defenders of a sacred sarcophagus.
Maybe we can trick whatever's in there and say that we're part of his posse.
Okay, great. Puts it on as well.
Sounds good.
Is there anything interesting about the thrones or they're just thrones?
No, they're just thrones.
Okay. Yeah. Then we gather around the sarcophagus.
All right.
And decide what to do with it.
Yeah.
Push the lid off, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready in action to thrust my sword into the heart of something there.
We can also stand back and I could have my ghoul.
Oh, yeah.
Go, Kosev, go.
I think that's a good idea.
I step back.
Don't want to kind of plunge my sword into the heart of something.
Have your longbow ready, at the very least.
I guess.
Orvex also puts on a mask, seeing that you guys are doing it. Did you put a mask on Kosev?
No.
Okay.
Mask on Hamlet.
Okay, then. There you go.
No, we'll leave it off of Kosev, because then we can see if
what
something
happens?
Would affect him that is not affecting us or whatever.
Okay.
We'll get more information. And then I instruct Kosev to push.
You instruct the ghoul to go up and push the lid off, and it puts both hands onto the sarcophagus lid and shoves, and it's like frozen in time. Nothing happens. There's not even a smidge of dust that falls from the sarcophagus.
Hmm.
Wait, but so does he successfully move the top of it?
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was very strong.
Maybe the eyes are stopping him. Are they looking at him?
Even with his ghoulish undead strength. The eyes are not looking at him. No.
Hork, seeing someone trying to do something that requires a lot of strength, can't help himself.
Yeah.
And he steps up and goes to push the same top of the sarcophagus.
And as soon as your muscly form starts shoving on the sarcophagus, it just... slides off to the side.
I think it's the mask.
Oh, yeah, or an undead
Hork
thing.
Does a big flex and kisses his bicep.
Within, in a dusty pile inside the sarcophagus, are the bones of a small bear-like animal.
No.
A ring, golden, engraved with some shields, lies on top of
it. Can I inspect the ring?
Do you pick it up?
Don't pick it up.
Yep.
Inspect it with your eyes.
As you pick up the ring... The dust around swirls into the shape of a small, feral, bear-like creature and billows towards you with a ghostly roar. Make a...
Hug check.
Charisma saving throw.
7.
Okay. Let me give you this slip of paper as the spirit of Obalaka begins to inhabit your body.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You can feel the spirit wrestling within your own mind and conversing with your subconscious. Obalaka the Zorbo is nervous and obsessive. You now have a new flaw. While inhabited by Obalaka, you gain the following, which overrides any opposing flaw. You are now risk-averse and a slave to routine.
Oh.
I'm sorry, a what to routine?
That's what it says.
Risk-aversion is so anti-horic.
Yeah.
While this Obalaka inhabits
all
you,
the maneuvers.
You can attune to one additional magic item. When Obalaka leaves you, all magic items to which you are attuned are no longer attuned to you.
So you're going to have more magic stuff, but you're risk averse and slave to routine.
New idea. Let's not open any more sarcophagus.
You can hear within your mind the Zorbo whispering and speaking to you. Oh, Don't go over there. Be careful. That's... Oh. Oh, those dead bodies. They might have disease. Oh, geez. watch out. Don't go in there. There's a trap, I bet. I think. That looks scary.
Wow, Hork is going to be changed forever. That's so funny for any of us to get that.
Yeah.
It's almost like this nagging and nattering in the back of your mind that is going to, unfortunately, impact your decision making from now on.
Yeah, and annoy the shit out of you.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Hork, you okay?
Hey, buddy, you don't look so good.
I don't feel so good.
Should we keep going?
Oh, I don't know.
Are you sick?
Walk it off.
You feel sick?
I feel scared.
What?
That's not Hork at all.
No.
Hmm.
Something happened.
Could I do a religion check to see if there's anything we might be able to do to remove this spirit?
Go ahead and make a religion check.
Just 11.
You're not sure. These were trickster gods. They mm-hmm. have some higher order power that can probably only be defeated by someone such as the Dendar.
Well.
Yikes.
I'll let you know when I'll let you know when I can deal with that.
Yeah, keep me posted.
The only thing left in the room is the bear and the eyes.
That is correct. And as you guys are gathered around Horik, concerned for his well-being, you hear out in the hallway outside through the crystal window a clattering as a skeletal figure starts clattering towards you. As it comes through the crystal window, looking around, not sure where it is, you see that its skull protrudes upwards into a triangular prism made of steel. What do you do?
Attack him?
Whoa, really? He just kind of shambled into the room. He hadn't done anything yet, right?
Douglas is a little trigger happy. Go ahead, make an attack.
Okay, I'm going to Ray of Frost this motherfucker.
Do it.
9 damage, and its speed is reduced by 10 feet.
Okay.
Until the start of its next
roll
turn.
Roll initiative.
18 for Douglas.
20 for Horik.
Lee.
21 for Lee.
Okay. And Crate?
16.
Lee, you go first.
Okay. Lee's going to use her bow and arrow. 21 to hit.
That hits.
10 damage.
As your magical arrow pierces through the rib cage of the skeleton, the body shatters, tumbling to the ground. You see the rib cage, the arms, the legs, the daggers that it was holding all crumble into dust. And meanwhile, the head clatters and rolls to a stop with the light that was once inhabiting its eyes fizzles out. You have just the skull with this triangular top sitting on the floor in front of you.
So is it bone that forms that triangle?
It's like
pyramid,
steel is fused into the skull.
Right. Maybe we should put it in a bag or something.
Yeah. I don't
we
see
could,
why
we
not.
We could bring it with us if you wanted to.
It's
cool.
It's interesting how the body was destroyed, but the head's still there.
Yeah, that's true. Is there any magic? Can I sense?
You detect magic or do you do arcane check?
Just arcane check.
It was inhabited with necrotic energy, mm-hmm. but it's not presently doing anything magical.
Yeah, I tell the Kosef ghoul to pick it up and carry it with us.
Okay. He's hanging on to that.
I don't know what happened.
It's kind of cool.
It's just kind of a cool looking skull,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You look back down the hallway through the crystal window. You see again that there's that grate on the floor. Beneath that, you can see some muddy flowing water. There's the dead body of that metal man leaning against the wall. Baylor, the overladen. And further down the hallway, you see there's the railing that extends out into an open space.
I guess that's our next go around is that fucking
oh, yeah. There's also
dark
that,
mouth.
There's also that green bearded devil.
Yeah.
Oh, mask. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, there's the bearded
you
devil
go
statue.
Past,
and
you
then
could,
past
that's on the wall kind of to your left, and you can go past it out to this open area.
I really don't like it, to be honest.
What would you do about it? Would you go in it?
The mouth?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, like, normally, yes, if I could see, like, more than a foot in front
oh,
of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Hork, take the lead.
No, Hork is feeling like maybe he should take up the rear.
I put out my hand for Hork. You need me to hold your hand?
Hork holds Douglas's hand.
We walk together.
He feels a little scared.
I pat his hand as we walk.
More scared than usual.
Yeah.
I toss a rock in the bearded devil statue.
You see no result. I hear no result.
Does it pass through, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not want to go there.
So clearly not.
All right. I'm going to tie a rope to Crate. and then Crate goes in. And then...
Crate casts inflict wounds.
Now, guys. We don't need to do this.
Stop struggling.
Let's check out that other door.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Check out the next area. Okay.
You know we're going to have to go through that mouth eventually.
Maybe. There's a lot of rooms in here, I'm assuming.
All right, I'll make some perception checks, looking for traps and stuff.
Okay, so this is what you guys see next. Out ahead of you, a grand chamber opens ahead, 50 feet across and plunging down into darkness below. You are on a stone balcony rounding around the walls to connect four archways. There are other balcony levels visible below, with corridors radiating off in all directions. To the north of you, a stone staircase descends to the lower levels. There's an opening immediately to your left, ahead of you, to the left, all the way around the railing, and across from you, a 10-foot wide opening going off into the darkness. You can vaguely see down, maybe 100 feet below you, just it's so dark.
Yeah.
Because it's now totally underground. You can kind of almost see the tops of these formless statues from where okay. you were looking. You can see the railings of the levels below you, and you see that on the level just below you, there is devil faces engraved into all the walls.
It's
dark in here. And you can see 80 feet. So below that, the railings have this oozing fungal growth on the railings.
Gross. Mm-hmm.
The railings on your level are human skulls. On each pedestal.
Of like, course.
It's just like a necromancer's like
wet dream.
His dream house.
I'm moonlighting as a interior designer. And I thought, skulls.
Skulls, devils.
Skulls,
now hear me out.
Devils, ooze.
Yeah, now hear me out. Ooze everywhere on the walls.
but how are the neighbors?
Can we see the bottom?
They're dead.
Perfect.
You cannot see the bottom. Your light does not reach far enough.
So Horik, because he's still carrying all of the weapons that he had when we started this campaign.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Picks up his old trusty flail, which he hasn't used in like 9 episodes.
Is that how he thinks about time?
That is. Yeah, that is.
That's weird.
That's how he thinks about time. And he drops it over the edge of
like
the
porch or something.
It drops 100 feet.
It drops 100 feet. And you time it, right? Because that's probably what you're trying to do. You time it. It seems to be about 100 foot drop. And you echoing, reverberating,
thing.
Clang as it hits the ground.
So does it sound like it's really far down or maybe just like a little further down than we can see? Or
about 100 feet.
It's about 100. You can see 80 feet. It's 100 feet down.
Okay, it's about 100 feet.
I'm telling you. All right. Okay. If you fall, you're taking 10 to 10 damage.
No, right?
Yeah, okay.
Shall we go down or we could just...
I want to go to the left.
Well, yeah, I think we go to the left either way because we can peek down that hallway yeah. or go downstairs.
Okay, let's go
least
left.
Least amount of skulls and ooze as well.
Okay.
Let's not be too hasty.
You guys start to make your way over towards the stairs over there. And as you get just above the stairs, you look down and by the light of Lee's flaming sword, you can see on the level below you, up against one of the railings, there is a hunched figure, maybe 4 or 5 feet tall, glaring up at you from the balcony below, wearing a mask that is a replica of that bearded devil face.
He's like, you dropped a thing on my head.
Hork tries to like hide behind crate, but he's way too big of a man to hide behind anyone.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
It stares up at you for a moment without saying a word and then steps off to the left and it disappears completely out of sight.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cool.
If we don't see him, he's not there, guys.
You hear a click of a door closing.
Oh, great.
Shit.
And we will see you in 2 weeks. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.
Uh-oh.
Bong,
bong,
bong. Let me just mute that.
Whoa.
Let me just mute
it was
that.
Downtime.